You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we've been talking about this a little bit throughout the week about women in comedy and what's been going on in social media. You may have seen the article in the Chicago Tribune about we also did talk about Beth Stelling earlier in the year. And I'm welcoming into the studio a new guest to the show, Victoria Elena Nonez and Caroline Sabatier. Oh my goodness! Did I say that right? So, can you mark that? Mark that with everything else that we've things I get right.
That's another mark for tonight.
ding ding ding!
For tonight. Yay! And I've asked Elliot Serrano and Dwayne Kennedy to join us as well, but I want to focus on what these young ladies are involved in. I received an email a couple weeks ago, and I didn't respond right away because I wasn't sure where I'd be, and I'm just so bad at saying no to people.
Yeah.
I'll be out of town the week that you are having an event at the Laugh Factory, which begins February 10th.
February 9th, Tuesday.
But okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I can't make that. Okay.
Now she has to come, you guys.
Oh, no.
You outed yourself.
So explain to us, either one of you, I'm not sure if Victoria, you want to take this, how did Women in Comedy come about?
That's a great question. So there was an organization that existed previously called Chicago Ladies in Comedy,
mm-hmm.
and that's been around for a handful of years. The woman who was running it at the time, Rebecca Grossman, saw what I was doing with Women in Comedy, and she approached me and said, hey, you know, why don't we merge these things together and let's make this thing happen. And so now it's kind of been moving forward. So Women in Comedy, as the name and sort of what we're doing, just really got started last year. And our first official event was in December. We had a speed networking event for women in the industry, and it was very successful. Everybody had a great time. And now all of this is happening, which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, because and I saw in the piece that was in the Chicago Tribune that Beth Stelling, who came forward with her story of abuse and being attacked by her boyfriend, who was also in comedy,
right.
I think made people feel a little bit more, because I think I started telling stories to people about what happened to me early in my career and throughout my career, the little things, the big things that, you know, have a cumulative effect of shaping your career, shaping how you stand behind a microphone or on stage with other performers, and we kind of accept it. And when Beth Stelling came forward, it was like, this is what happens when we blame ourselves,
right.
when we, you know, and the thing is, like, we blame ourselves for letting it happen a lot of times. So I want to thank you for giving everyone a format, whether it's a female comedian or male, a place to feel safe and tell these stories.
Well, thank you. I think it's been really important, and I'm glad that people were able to, I think the anonymous format is what helped people feel safe,
mm-hmm.
right? Because a big reason why people weren't coming forward was because of the backlash and because of the worries about what is this going to mean for my career? What are the repercussions?
Right.
So I'm glad that it went as well as it did, and that it's inspired people to sort of start coming forward and telling those stories, not anonymously anymore. They're saying, like, this is what happened to me at this place, at this time, with this person.
Right.
And I think it's really powerful. So it's exciting.
It is. And Caroline, now where are you from originally?
I'm originally from the Boston area.
And did you do comedy in Boston?
I didn't. I actually started out in musical theater.
that seems like a logical progression.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I was drawn to comedy after I graduated with my musical theater degree. Because of the opportunity it provides to kind of express your own opinions and ideas about things, mm-hmm. more so than traditional theater does. So that's how I initially ended up here, to kind of see how that was going to go for me.
And were you drawn by the sketch comedy scene, the improv?
I was.
And many people are. This is where you go to be a sketch comic or improv artist.
Mm-hmm.
Stand-up comedy is kind of one of those things where New York, L.A. seem to be the big draws. Don't you think, Dwayne? I didn't give you my... We're not listening to men right now.
Sorry, you don't get a seat at the table tonight.
Oopsies. Sit under the table, sir.
Yeah, no.
And shut up. I think New York and L.A. certainly more for career opportunities, yeah, but Chicago is the place where you go, not only place, but where you... Chicago is the place where you become good.
Mm-hmm.
And then New York and L.A. are the places where you go to... ascend in the field in
right.
comedy and show
right.
business. Yeah.
Yeah. But Chicago for many people for sketch and improv is a destination because this is where you can ascend because
yeah.
they draw so strongly for Saturday Night Live, for any of the sketch shows. They come here, and even, you know, there are so many shows now filming here. There are opportunities that there weren't before.
Right.
So what did you think when you came to Chicago, Caroline? What were some of your early experiences of taking classes and studying sketch and improv?
You know, I initially came here pretty much by myself. I showed up with a couple suitcases and just wanted to see how it was going to go. So I got really involved in the comedy community really quickly, which I think is kind of a unique aspect of the Chicago comedy scene, is that it is really sort of involved. Everyone kind of knows each other. Mm-hmm. You are kind of drawn in very quickly. And so I think that I initially had a lot of really positive experiences. I had a lot of great teachers. I was doing a lot of different shows at a lot of different theaters, and I was involved in the improv and the sketch and the stand-up scenes. And it was only later that I started to notice sort of some of the problems with sexism in the community, and it took me a while to kind of realize what that meant for me and what that meant for kind of all of us. And I think it's really taken me a few years to kind of get to where we are today, and this week particularly with everything that's been happening. So it's been definitely a journey going up to this point.
And what kind of do you think spawned this? It was one post from a woman who said that she had this experience at IO. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened this week that sort of...
Yeah, I think people are a little confused. And actually what we're working on right now, and what all of us ladies, we just had a little fun work fest before we got here. But we're working on creating a timeline of events for sort of what we see as a collective movement in mm-hmm. the community and a cultural shift. So I think people are a little confused just because of the way that the media has been reporting different things. I think it's been easy to pinpoint it. And
that's why I invited you.
Right. So like we're trying, everybody's trying to mark the catalyst as like Sharna said these bad things and then the ladies came out, you know, and like that's really not what's happened here. I think it's been these conversations have been happening for a long time. It's like you're saying, you've had these experiences.
Right, you know, like, but it's all fractured. Right?
Sure, yeah. Sure. So it's been going on forever. We've been having these conversations internally forever. And then, you know, I think the main catalysts, honestly, were the Beth Stelling article, the yes. one in the BuzzFeed. And then I do think that the second big catalyst was the anonymous Google form that I posted up, which let people share their stories. So after that came out, from my understanding, Sharna was alerted by a friend of hers that, hey, there's these anonymous posts going up and people are talking about it. And then she responded negatively to that. And then a conversation spawned. She said some things that people didn't like, and then everybody started attacking her.
We need to explain who Sharna Halpern
is. Oh, I'm
is.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, so, you're not. Don't be sorry. I just realized we in the room were like, oh, yeah,
oh,
Sharna
sure,
Halpern,
sure. Oh, old Sharna. Yeah. We're besties.
Written books about it.
Yeah,
Truth and Comedy. Yeah.
Sharna Halpern is the head of the Improv Olympic Theater, and she's an amazing businesswoman who, you know, saw talent with Del Close, and she decided to kind of branch off from Second City and start her own comedy theater, and it's been very successful. And you know, a lot of the people that have trained at Second City and are sort of seen as, you know, Second City's like the hub, but almost everyone who's been on, you know, at Second City or on SNL has also trained at the Improv Olympic, and right. that's what Sharna heads up. So
yeah, and I don't know, Dwayne, have you ever studied improv or sketch?
No, I've been around this.
Yeah, because I tried. I did Players Workshop, which is a totally different body, which was Diane Forsberg, her kids, Eric and Leanne. I want to say her. I can't remember her first name, but wonderful instructors. For me, improv was the kind of thing where it's such a collaborative effort. And I was always more drawn to telling personal autobiographical mm-hmm. stories. Mm-hmm. So that's why I invited Sharna onto the show, because and hopefully she'll be on in the next couple of weeks, because I have no skin in the taking classes aspect of it. I won't attack or defend, because I don't know what that experience is like.
Right.
I have a different experience as a stand-up comic. I've been doing this for over 15 years, and I say 15 to sound younger. Let's just put it that way. Dwayne has a very good idea of how I've been doing comedy.
We've been doing it since Thursday.
Yes.
And, you know.
Amateurs.
Yeah.
I thought you had to be at least 21 to start doing comedy.
And I was.
Okay.
Maybe 19.
Sure?
Let's say 15 or something like that. I keep changing it. But, you know, one of the things that we, as you said, we talk about it like amongst ourselves, and there's all these different groups. And now you've come to a place where everyone's kind of posting it and saying this. I've seen a stand-up comic very openly express, and she's a stand-up and has studied at IO. Emily Galati has posted on Facebook her experience and how hard she moved here for that mm-hmm. and how disheartening that was. And I think what happened to Sharna and to a lot of people when we start telling these stories is nobody wants to feel like they've done something wrong.
Right.
And that's the case whenever we talk about when last year with catcalling and any kind of, you know, when we're put in a position to feel less than we are, whether there. I had a comedy club owner tell me I shouldn't wear skirts on stage because I had thunder thighs.
Ew.
And and you know, and that's something that isn't, you know, how do I tell somebody that, you know, that when I go on stage now I'm wondering, like, am I wearing the right thing?
Right.
We have all these individual stories, but what we have heard and what people have written articles about, have been very forward about, is that women can't be funny. So when you put that on top of all the things that we experience on a daily basis in classes where we're supposed to feel safe and be a learning environment and express ourselves, it's a very complicated relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to thank you both for doing this. This is I wouldn't say I've been silent about my experiences. I mean, I've told it on the show. I have a platform. I can share this, and so my listeners are not unfamiliar with the sort of struggles that I have, and every comic does. But these are unique. I asked Renee Hicks one time, because people will come up to a comic after a show, a female, and say, you know, I don't usually like female comics, but you were funny. Mm-hmm. And my joke about that is, I don't usually like idiots, and that will always be true.
Right.
And I asked Renee Hicks if she felt that she had any sort of struggle as more as a black woman, as somebody who's black, mm-hmm. or as a woman. And she said that she has had people tell her they don't usually like black comedians. Have you ever had that experience where someone says, I don't usually like blacks? I mean, that's
only
bold.
Only the club owner.
Really?
No. As he was, no.
But clubs will tell me that. Clubs will say women don't do well here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that particularly women are more, in my opinion, more likely to have things told, disparaging things told directly to their face.
Because they're comfortable doing that.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't, you know, but I've never had anybody tell me, you know, I don't usually like. Yeah, I've never had that.
And Elliot, you spent some time with me at Stage 773 watching some of the sketch groups. I mean, there's not a moment where you go, oh, that's funny in a woman way. I mean, because those are some talented performers.
Yeah, I don't make a distinction. I'm a tremendous fan of anyone who's funny, and I've seen so many really talented, hilarious female comedians on those stages and in a lot of different places. I wanted to ask the ladies, though, if I could. I mean, as someone, I know a lot of this behind the scenes stuff, and when I hear about these sorts of things happening, quite frankly, I'm sorry, I'm not surprised. You know, sexism is everywhere.
Absolutely.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, it permeates all industries. So, yep.
But let's say, looking at from like, I'm a guy who's a consumer who likes to go to a show. What would you encourage the male consumer?
Ooh.
What should they do to kind of like help stem, you know, deal with this thing that you kind of deal with behind the scenes? Is there something that the male consumer can do for you as a female performer?
I think that's a great question. And I think one of the ways that male consumers can help is if there is a show or, you know, they're seeing a performance that they feel has some sexist remarks or has something like that, walk out, you know, stand up and show them that, like, I'm not going to put up with that. Like, that's not something that, like, this isn't okay. If they're doing a rape scene or they're doing, you know, some joke that just doesn't feel right or sit with you, and you, because I've heard that time and again that, you know, even for my friends who we kind of call like the norms, you know, the people that don't do comedy, and they come and see a show and they feel offended by it, but they don't say anything. They mm-hmm. just kind of sit uncomfortably in that chair. And so I would challenge a male consumer, instead of sitting uncomfortably in that chair, to just walk out.
Yeah.
Show them, like, show us that, like, ooh, that wasn't okay. Like, what you just said and did,
it's not my
not for me.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to walk out of here.
I did that at Sketchfest. I left. Mm-hmm. I had gone, there were 8 days of performances. I had mm-hmm. seen almost 20 shows and three shows. And this is a different thing altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have walked out on one. When you said that, I was like, I should have just gotten up. I told my friend tonight that I wanted to get up and leave because I didn't feel safe. And that mm-hmm. sounds weird to say to people, but something happened on stage that wasn't necessary. There was a woman playing a man, and one of the actors put his head in her bosom. She was playing a general, and he put it, and like, that was the cheap joke. And he was like rubbing his head, mm-hmm, like basically mm-hmm. motorboating somebody who was actually supposed to be a man. And everyone was laughing. She's a curvy woman. She's, you know, very talented. And all of a sudden the joke became, he has her head between her boobs.
Yeah.
And oh my God, we had to take a break. We're going to continue our conversation, but I walked out on a show because it was the third time in 5 days where I'd heard the word retarded. And I was like, you know what? I'm not, this is not for me anymore.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. And that includes my shows. I've had people walk out. And listeners, you can walk out. Mm-hmm. If this doesn't make you comfortable, mm-hmm. you have the ability to go, I'm not happy right now. I'll come back when it feels safe again.
It's nice to hear you guys say that, because it's hard sometimes for people to walk out. The only thing I've ever walked out of is Dude, Where's My Car? And that's because... That's because the girl I liked walked out first and whatnot, but oh well.
Oh, man. We are hanging out pretty late with Patty Vasquez, and you can call us and join the conversation if you have any thoughts. 312-981-7200. We have in studio with us Victoria Elena Nones and Caroline Sabatier.
Sabatier.
Sabatier. It was too long since I heard it. Sabatier. Sabah. Hold on a second. Let me fill this, spell this out phonetically. Okay, I'll figure it out during the break. Elliot Serrano and Dwayne Kennedy also join us. More after this on 720 WG. WGN-TV News reports live from the Iowa caucus. So does WGN Radio, by the way. Ro Khan, Steve Cochran going to be there. Watch for special coverage and analysis all day Monday on WGN-TV. We don't have much time before the next news break, so we are going to continue our conversation about women in comedy. We have Victoria and Caroline in the studio with us, and we'll explain kind of what has unfolded over the last few weeks. I was telling some of my stories off the air that I don't, but when Beth Stelling came out with her story, I started sharing that. And, you know, there are the extremes. There are the relationships that we have. People will tell you, don't date somebody in comedy, and, you know, they can go, you know, don't dip your... whatever. Don't dip stuff. But I mean, you have shared experiences, you have common interests, and you are drawn to people, and sometimes it's too late and you blame yourself. But we are also talking about places that are supposed to be safe, just taking you pay for a class, you are mentored by somebody. And Caroline, before we go to the news, tell us a little bit about what it's like when you take a class, and every situation is a little bit different than you thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I think maybe Caroline can speak to
this. I'm sorry,
as well,
Victoria.
But, you're fine. But Caroline can also speak to this. I think, it's difficult because, again, what we want to do is laugh. Like, we are in comedy because we want to have fun. We want to make people laugh. We want to have a good time. And then also we want to be at the epitome of what comedy is, which is social and political satire, right? So we want to be saying something that's important. And it's hard to do that when you're going into a classroom where you don't feel safe, where you have these people who are sort of abusing their power or being what we would call predatory, and sort of looking at these young women that are coming in. And maybe every time they have a new class, it's like, ooh, there's a new student I can sort of prey on in a way. And it's difficult as a woman. And we've heard a lot of these stories anonymously and also with, people coming forward with details talking about how these teachers abuse that power and how it's uncomfortable. You know, you go to a class and you want to have fun and you're trying to learn and you're paying this money. And then all of a sudden you leave class and you get this sexy text from your teacher that's like, hey, great class. Like, let's go grab a drink. Right.
It's
very difficult because you're sort of like, ooh, this is awkward. And what do you do in this situation? You know, you have a few choices and maybe you're not interested in this person, but then maybe you're thinking, well, this person is someone that has power. This person is someone that is
gives me stage time.
Yeah. And also part of the community. And if I say no, then what are they going to do? If I say yes, then what are they going to do? Then there's also that sort of draw, I think, for some young women, and especially new women to the community, that's this idea of like, ooh, kind of like the sexy secret relationship, and that's a big thing that these predators will do. They will say, well, I'm not supposed to have relationships with my students, so don't tell anyone that this is going on.
Right.
And we see this time and time again where these teachers will, they'll tell that to multiple students. So they might be sleeping with 3, 4, or 5 students, and they've told all these women, don't tell anyone that we're having a relationship because I'll get in trouble. But what they're really doing is, kind
working
of lying to all of these women. Yeah. And hurting all of them. And I've seen this happen. And then these women find out much, much later, maybe like a year, 2 years later, and they'll be in conversation.
Great conversations, yeah.
And they're like, oh, you had a thing with it? I had a thing. What time was that? When was that? Are you serious? Like, we were sleeping with him at the same time. And that's a really awful thing to discover. It just doesn't feel good. So...
yeah, well, we're going to continue this conversation. And by the way, this is something we know happens in the workplace, but this is a conversation that I wanted to invite Caroline and Victoria to share with us, because it is in the news this week, and it's also something I'm familiar with, and many of you have heard me have this kind of dialogue before, and I want to expand that and provide a place where you guys can, again, have a conversation, because a lot of it happens in print and in social media. Right now, it's time for our news. Sorry, Craig. I'm talking to my guests off the air. You know, it's Elliot gets to hang out for the off the air conversation. He's been waiting all night.
No, I'm psyched. We got to the
That's a really good part.
That's the best part of the song.
The good stuff. You're listening pretty late, and I'm hanging out with some new friends and some old friends. I have Dwayne Kennedy, comedian Dwayne Kennedy, whose CD comes out on February 2nd. Now that he has a sound engineer all ready to go with that. And I've been filling him in on the bits that I would like him to also record later.
Done.
Excellent. Elliot Serrano, who's our sidekick tonight. Well, hopefully we'll find out what we meant to get to and why you were so late tonight.
All right.
But the conversation we're having, and there's an event coming up on Sunday with my guests that they have organized. Victoria and Caroline are part of Women in Comedy. And Dwayne was asking earlier, like, how did this all kind of come to the surface and become part of the news cycle, really, this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was right. I mean, it was a culmination of different things. I think I do think that in terms of getting media attention, I think as soon as Sharna sort of came into the picture, because she is ahead of one of the theaters, that was a big, that was a siren for people. They're like, ooh, I'm going to jump on that. So,
She's a target, and yes. She's sort of a lightning rod.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So it's interesting because I think that she actually served a purpose in some beneficial ways, because I think that even though she said things that people found offensive, that in the end, you know, she really helped highlight what's going on and brought some attention to what's happening. So it's been interesting. There's just a lot of different things going on. But I think the posts plus Sharna and then the media sort of bringing it to the forefront and uplifting our voices, I think that that's what's made things boil over and have people, you know, come out and come forward.
Do you have an estimate about how many people have posted things anonymously and publicly?
Publicly, I'm not sure. It's, you know, I mean, I look at my own personal news feed and you see a lot of stories, but I think for the form, I was just looking at it today and we're at about 380 submissions, give or take a little bit. I mean, obviously we have some troll submissions.
And this is just Chicago, or is this?
No, this is all
national.
Over, right? So most of the submissions have been from Chicago, just because I posted it to my personal Facebook, so most people are sharing it, you know, sort of within the city. But we've seen from all over. We're not just in the United States, but also like in Australia. We're getting Shanghai, just random people submitting, which is interesting, right? And it's interesting to see that this is happening on a national level, on a global level. That, you know, and again, it's not surprising, right? Like, this happens in all kinds of industries, but definitely for us, you know, it's happening all over the place,
and we don't talk about it publicly.
No.
And Caroline, what would you like to tell people about the experience as a female performer? Because that's what they call you—a female improviser or a female sketch comic.
Right.
Yeah. How does that feel when you hear that rather than just a performer?
I think it kind of adds a layer of sort of judgment that doesn't necessarily need to be there. And that was one of the reasons. I think that, like, a lot of the submissions that we've been getting, since we've gotten so many anonymous submissions, and after Sharna's post came out, a lot of the suggestions were kind of vague. That was kind of what led me to write a more specific article where it wasn't anonymous, and it kind of did get into more detail about my own personal experience with assault in the community, which was kind of what led us to start planning this event for Sunday, so that we could have a broader conversation about it and kind of honor people who have kind of been forced out of the entertainment industry because they felt like they didn't have another choice. Like Victoria mentioned a few minutes ago, when you end up in a situation with a teacher or a director or a coach and you're a young woman in comedy, you do kind of face a lose-lose situation, because if you kind of go forward with what they're sort of pushing on to you, you're obviously putting yourself in a dangerous situation. But if you don't, your career might suffer. And I mean, I think Victoria and I have both taken some time out of the comedy scene to kind of get some perspective. But when you're in the midst of it, it's very hard to kind of get that layer of perspective that this isn't the be-all, end-all of everything and that you do have choices. But it's just so hard to see at the time.
It is, because IO and Second City are really the flagships of sketch comedy and improv in the city of Chicago. So when you find that that's not a safe place for you anymore, and you want to be able to express yourself, and all of a sudden this is not comfortable anymore. Because there were stories, I'm not sure who it was, that said that someone bit her breast and was trying to laugh it off.
It was
as a
Angie McMahon. Yeah, yeah, she's the head of Under the Gun Theater. But yeah, I mean, it happens. Those kinds of things happen all the time.
Right.
What? the heck?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you need to get on the blog. You need to read those stories.
Or you're maybe I don't.
Yeah, it's scary.
What was that?
It's just, there's a lot. I think it goes back to the fact that this sort of community was founded with a lot of like dudes that were just having fun, and there was sort of this like anti-establishment thing going on. But I think there was also, it was a male-dominated industry, like many things, and mm-hmm. there was a lot of entrenched misogyny that sort of just happened from the get-go. It was sort of like the women were there to have fun and to be loose and to be there for the men
and to be the sort of the witnesses to dick jokes.
Yeah,
right. As you know, that's
still going on.
I'm
okay.
Saying,
yeah. Every open mic in every city
can
is
I
like
say that?
Dick,
did
dick,
I,
dick.
Did I, oh,
sorry. Oh, we're not supposed to say
no,
bad words.
No. I've said it first.
You are not supposed to say bad words.
Yeah, but Dick is the name of like a man's name, so we're okay. Like,
yes,
absolutely rocking it.
You guys were all talking about Richard jokes.
Yes, right. We're talking about Dick Nixon. Everyone tells
jokes.
Dick Nixon jokes.
Yeah,
like, come on.
Exactly.
Richard Richardson.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, that always seemed to be the case. Like, we were there to, you know, the men would always have the more prominent roles, and we were supposed to receive. Yeah. And then there are women who are expressive and are you know, want to go in that direction. But then what came first? Is it because the environment lends itself to that, or is that really what a performer wants to express?
Right.
Yeah, I think also when women do express boundaries in this community, it's much easier for men to be like, I was just kidding. You misconstrued what I was trying to say. So it's taken much less seriously than it might be in a more regulated industry.
And it goes back to, no one wants to feel like they're the bad guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What we want, what I want in general, and this will be fun. No, because there's
tell
a
us
dude,
what you want.
No, there's a dude just standing behind you drinking a Slurpee, and that's just weird.
We like Slurpees.
Yes, I love Slurpees.
Right.
Is we want people to, for me, is to say, I hadn't thought of it that way,
mm-hmm.
and sort of think about the way they behave.
Right.
Right. Whether or not you can go back and fix anything, that's, you know, it's not what you've done, it's what you're going to do.
Yeah, it's
right.
how you react to it. And I think a great example of this, and I mentioned this in the article, but my teacher at the Second City, his name is Scott Dickers, and he was the co-founder of The Onion, and he was the one that made the inappropriate rape joke at the time that I sort of mentioned. There's many, many experiences that we've all had. This is just one of many, but this is one that stands out to me. And part of the reason it stands out to me is because of how he handled it, right? We're talking about, like, these things are going to happen, but it's all in how you handle it. And he handled it with grace. He, you know, stood up for me. He apologized.
Right.
He came forward, and that's so helpful. Like, it's great. Like, walk out, you know, stand up, say something, be there for women. Don't say, oh, I was just joking. Like, take responsibility for your behavior.
I didn't mean anything by it, or
sure,
you're being too thin skinned.
Like, yeah, or oh, you're crazy. Why don't you stop gaslighting?
Yes, I mean, now, Caroline, how would you give advice to another comedian moving to Chicago and getting involved in the scene?
I would advise them to remember that at the end of the day, they're the prize, like, not to get caught up in the scene or what people think of you. I think that people tend to get really caught up with how others see them here,
right.
and what their image is and what kind of comic they are and what kind of improv.
Because finding your voice, whether you're a stand-up comic or a sketch comic, is a process.
Right. It's
a
process.
And when you are bumping into these, you know, sort of bumps along the way, it makes it harder to keep focused on that.
Right.
Keep showing up, I think, is also.
Yeah, I think keep showing up. Remember who you are at the end of the day. Don't let that kind of slip away because other people are pressuring you into doing things. I love Chicago. I think the community has great things about it. As you know, it's nothing's perfect. The Chicago comedy community isn't perfect either. But I think that once people start having the courage to stand up for themselves, I think that's when things are really going to change.
Yeah, I think so too. And I the reason I wanted to ask Elliot about this, a situation that happened at a Comic-Con, is it's one thing when something happens to you directly, that's the situation in which you should respond to. When you are extrapolating your emotions and your tension to somebody else's experience, that's when things can get a little bit heated, because mm-hmm. you're speaking for somebody else. I mean, like, as women, we want to speak for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
don't jump in on somebody else's. Encourage that person and say, hey, were you, was that safe for you? Did you feel uncomfortable? Don't speak for us, because that diminishes us as well. And that was a situation you had, Elliot, that made me very angry, that people who weren't even at the event, because I was, and I've been the victim of, you know, being sexualized, of misogyny, of, you know, harassment. And I didn't, I wasn't like jumping, and not because we're friends, like I thought it was a corny joke. That would be my only thing to you. but you were attacked on social media with,
for those who aren't aware, I made a joke with Alex Kingston,
who plays River Song
on Doctor Who, but also played Dr. Elizabeth Corday on ER. So in the process of our interview on stage, I thought it would be funny when I said it.
You thought. Yeah, that's where it started. It went wrong.
Stupid boy. Right. Well, and this is the ironic part, is that I even ran this by my female coworkers in the office.
And me. He ran it by me, and I was like,
questionable.
I said I didn't think most people were going to get it.
Right. I know. I said that because her television characters had things for doctors, I made a fictional doctorate based in the television world. So it was issued by Minnesota State University, the fictional university from the TV show Coach.
Right.
So many layers on this.
So
bit.
There were a lot of
that
layers.
That is. That's, I mean, deep, right. Yeah, that's some detailed. Deep subtext.
So I said, I pulled out my fictional doctorate, and I said, well, and then I said to Alex Kingston, I'm not asking you out because I know you're married, but I'd be curious. I would like to know if Dr. Elizabeth Corday would like to have a cup of coffee sometime. And there were a couple laughs in the audience, but obviously I didn't set the joke up very well. There were like there was like a nervous silence going on.
And you're like, no, I'm sinking.
No, it was.
Like,
and I was like,
panic.
I got to pull.
Can't go back.
Let's pull.
And she kept looking at the diploma, like he had it like framed with the glass and everything.
Yeah. You went like all out. And she's like, what
props,
is
everything.
That was a look on her face, because she looked at me and her exact words were, I don't know what to do with this. And it was a funny thing, because I was like, oh my God, I could see on her face. She's reading this and she's going, oh my God, how much time did this
she's
guy
like,
put
wow,
into this?
Wow, this is a little much.
Yeah, a little much. This guy really committed to this joke, which was not going over. And afterwards, she even said she thought it was, you know, she thought, oh, it was cute and it was funny. And she wasn't. But apparently, while I was on stage, someone started tweeting that I was hitting on the guest. And that I was sexually harassing her.
And not only that, but it became Elliot tends to make women uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Yikes.
Don't speak for me. Because Elliot and I are besties.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But that was, to me, that was like a full-on attack.
I mean, I don't want to sound sexist or anything, but to me, that seemed pretty benign. I don't know how it feels.
See, and this is where it's weird, right? So everyone's
but
like...
No.
But if I may, here's the thing, though, and this is the honest to goodness truth. Afterwards, and some of the folks who were saying to me on Twitter, this is what was wrong. Mm-hmm. This is how we interpreted it. Mm-hmm. And I even said on Twitter, I'm really sorry. The joke didn't go over. I'm sorry it was perceived that way.
It was a Coach joke.
It was a Coach joke. And you know what? And if
do either one of you know the TV show joke? Coach? See?
Yeah.
Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, that was a funny show, man.
Jerry
Van Dyke. You went too deep, homie.
Jerry Van Dyke. Pam Stone. She played the women's basketball coach.
It was great. Nope. But I apologize profusely. And here's the thing I learned. You cannot apologize enough on social media.
No.
Social media is tough. We've had a rough week with that.
Why?
So.
Who are you apologizing to?
We've had a lot of backlash actually this week, so we totally feel you. It's tough when the people get rolling, because when you're behind a keyboard, it's so easy to say whatever you want to say. But when you're in real life, it's like, would you really say that to somebody? Would you actually say that to my face or to your face? Like some of the things I'm sure you experienced as well. In a nutshell, we've experienced a lot of backlash this week because we planned the blackout on Monday night, and there was a diversity showcase happening at I.O. And so then, yes. Caroline called for the blackout on a Monday.
I don't mean to laugh hard.
I suggested this blackout for Monday to honor survivors of assault in the community.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh then.
Who have had to leave.
On diversity night. Okay.
Yes. So we experienced a lot of backlash about that because there was some confusion with the media. First of all, the media was saying that we were doing a boycott, which is not what we were doing. We were doing a blackout, which to me, you know, in terms of
you know, description. It's more like a candlelight vigil. Like we're doing sort of like, gesture. Let's all come together and honor the people who have left the community because right. they were assaulted or had something, right?
And the reason I laugh is because when you do a diversity showcase, you're trying to give an opportunity to people who are disenfranchised.
Yes. And so that's, yep. That's
so it's sort of like these competing, you know, right. people who are surviving, people who are trying to survive. It's right. a lot of different things. Yeah.
Right. So we experienced a lot of that this week with social media and people sort of jumping on the bandwagon.
Everyone take
and,
a step back. Take a breath.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And there's a lot of emotions involved right now. So it's understandable, I think, that people are upset. People are angry. People are sad. People are experiencing so many different things. And I've seen a lot of my friends, and myself included, I'm running on fumes right now. I've had like 2 hours of sleep a night. It's just been crazy. But seeing...
I kept calling her. I knew yeah. she was busy. I was like, no, give me a call. Hey. Seriously, Victoria. Seriously, give me a call.
But yeah, I think it can get out of hand with social media. I'm sorry that you experienced that. And I know it's tough and it's hard because you know...
It was a bad joke and yeah. I probably should have
well,
just
you
left
should be
it
embarrassed.
Well, especially when you apologize, right?
I still am.
So before... Oh, well,
bring your shame here. This is where it comes out.
Let's take a break and we'll tell people what's happening on Sunday and how you can come out and join us because I'll be there as well. More after this on 720 WGN.
We didn't have time to talk about it. Did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Do-si-do. I know we didn't get to it.
All right, Craig. I. Are you? Wait a minute. Is that? Huh, what is that? What is that?
I believe that is called the bunny hop, and I was also skiing during it.
You yeah, right. you were yeah. the bunny skiing tonight.
Yes. Why? Thank you.
Well, we've been in our chairs all week dancing. We've decided to tone it down a little bit just because we're. By the way, I'm recovering from an extensively brutal doghouse CrossFit experience.
Oh no! I did not envy you.
CrossFit. So fancy.
We had to do burpees into pull-ups.
Ew. No, thank you.
Okay, again.
Yes. I know.
Point out the guy who's holding a gun to your head, making you do this. I will stop him.
I know. Dom, it was mean. He actually said the goal today for the workout was death.
Oh God.
And
no.
I was like, I was just going for don't puke.
So you failed then today. Good job. Way to not die.
I know. Yeah, I did not puke either. So nice. I was very excited. We are hanging out with our friends, Elliot, Caroline, Victoria, and Dwayne. And Caroline and Victoria have an event coming up this Sunday as well as later in February. Tell us a little bit about Sunday.
Well, there's a lot to say about Sunday. We're going to have, first of all, we are having a quote-unquote blackout, and the blackout is to sort of honor women and men who have left the community because of assault, harassment, or sexism, and we're asking people to just not go to the theaters, not go to a show, not go to class to sort of honor those people and then to tag them.
And when you say shows, you mean improv and sketch? Or
yeah,
all?
Anything comedy related. So we're just, again, trying to sort of, you know.
Dwayne, are you performing on Sunday?
Yeah, I was. Thanks a lot.
Sorry. I mean, we just, you know, there's a lot we have to do. So so we have that going on. And then we're having a community discussion because we think it's important as, you know, to move forward that we have to come together. We've been, you know, we've had all these conversations on social media. But I think it's time for us to come together in person to sit down, to have some discussions. And there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of confusion. I think it's a good time to educate women and men on some of the differences between what is sexism, what is harassment, what constitutes assault, and what are my rights, and how do I go about defending myself if those things happen.
And I think this is important for men as well, not only to listen, but I think that there are men who are victims in certain situations, whether it's because of their body type or their sexual preference or their ethnicity, whatever it is. This is a place to tell, you know, the panel is all women from different parts of the business, whether it's the YWCA for the survivors of assault.
Right.
And a lot of comics as well. So thank you for inviting me to be a part of the panel.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. And I think it'll be good.
I'm the old broad on the panel, just
woo-woo.
So you know.
yeah, we're trying to have, you know, a pretty diverse panel. I think we've got some good women coming in. We have a lot of different perspectives. And we're trying to sort of bridge the gap between that unique space that we fill as comedians and then bringing in some experts about what happens with these cultural shifts. Because this really is a cultural thing. Again, we know that the sexism, the harassment, all those things permeate different industries. But how do we...
address those things for our industry? Like, how do we look at it, you know, with comedy?
But girls, really, when are you just going to, you know, get married, get pregnant, and stop doing this funny little comedy thing?
Like, you why know that's all you want out of life. Yeah.
You're not going to get a husband like that.
No, you are not. Don't speak your mind. Nobody wants to hear it.
So that's Sunday at the Laugh Factory at Broadway and Halstead.
Yes.
And we're Broadway and Belmont, right?
Broadway and Belmont. Yes, 3175 North Broadway. Look up the Laugh Factory, and it's from 2 to 4 p.m. Anyone is welcome to come.